us do. Then in Isaiah 57:13-18, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them, and he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and inherit my holy mountain. And one shall say, heap up, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits in eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit will fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry. And he went on his backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will also lead him. You know, those powerful words. And, you know, there, as we repent of our sins and ask forgiveness from God through prayer, how many of us have ever taken the garbage out? And then once we get out to the cans, decide, well, no, I might need that. I'm going to bring it back in. You know, I don't think anybody's done that. But when we go to God in prayer, I mean, if we go in the right spirit and with the right heart, that sin is taken from us and it is cast as far as the depths of the ocean, never to return. But there is one, Satan, whose name literally means the accuser, brings that back to our minds and we want to bring it back in. And as we go through our prayer life, I want to let you know, I mean, I'm blessed and we're all blessed that we have a loving Father who has provided a means of forgiveness through the sacrifice of Christ, and that all these sins that we have when we go to him are nailed to that cross and are ours to bear as a burden no more. But then we also have the ladders. Often I'm encouraged by a sermon or someone else's example or an encouraging word from someone. And I was fortunate enough to gain one of these nuggets of wisdom while attending a graduation ceremony at Heritage Christian University recently. Brother T.J. Kirk, who is the Vice President of Student Services at Freed-Hardeman University, and preaches at Campbell Street Church of Christ in Jackson, Tennessee, was the commencement speaker. And I'm going to play a short clip from his speech there. And I found this to be one of the most useful nuggets of wisdom when it comes to my prayer life. I didn't realize that I had been doing it so wrong for so long. And I'm thankful that I was able to hear this man to help straighten me out. So if you'll bear with me, this is we'll play about 5 minutes of his speech. And hopefully you find this as useful as I do.
But I've been sent here with the task of sharing some wisdom with you today. So I'll offer you two things, and then I'll have my seat. The very first thing that I want to encourage you to do, as you live out your ministry, as you live out your work, as you live out the rest of your life, is pray big prayers. Pray big prayers because we serve a big God. And I found myself in my past praying safe prayers, giving God an exit door, giving God a safety net. But he don't need that from us because he is the greatest being who has ever lived. I learned this lesson one day as a principal, where every morning we would meet in the office, me and my faculty, and we would pray. And this morning it just so happened that one of the office staff mentioned a sister that had a son who was going to die. Doctors had told her, we've done everything we can. There's nothing else we can do. You guys have probably heard something similar along the way in some story or somebody that you've known and loved. And it just so happened that day, a man named Mr. Todd, he was our maintenance man, was in the office. And so they asked him to pray. Because I'm the prayer. I mean, I'm the principal, right? So I'm supposed to, you know, say the prayers. But if I had been asked to say the prayer, my prayer would have went a little something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us and sending your son Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you help this family through this tough transition. I'm asking that you provide this boy comfort. I'm asking that this family leans on their own understanding and not their own. Leans on your understanding and not their own. And I would have prayed something along those lines and closed with, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. But they didn't ask me to pray. They asked Mr. Todd to pray. And Mr. Todd, the maintenance man, who is the countryest man you've ever heard speak, when he was asked to pray, turned into James Earl Jones. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know if you've ever met anyone who speaks one way but prays another way. So Mr. Todd, when he was asked to pray, he said, Dear Heavenly Father. I went, what? I come to you now and ask that you heal this boy in the name of Jesus. Allow him to be healed in such a way that the only explanation to how he is better is you, Lord. And may you be glorified. Prepare this family to have their son back. And don't allow them to lose faith in you, God. You are a big God. You are faithful. You have never lost and you never will. Show your healing power by healing this boy and letting him get up out of that bed. In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Amen. Now I ask, which of those prayers sound like they're coming from someone who serves a God who is amazing, who serves a God who is all-powerful, who serves a God that created everything from his imagination? Which of those two prayers conveys a confidence in a God who is able to do anything? Wasn't my little prayer. Wasn't my little safe prayer. It was our maintenance man, Mr. Todd, who loves God, who believes in God, and prays big prayers because he has confidence in what his God can do. I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters that are sitting here right now, as you live your life from this day forward, let go of the safe prayers. Let go of the comforting and giving God an excuse prayer. Pray big prayers and let God show up and show out. I want you to think of these things as a means to help you as you go on and strive to live this new prayerful life. Because I want you to pray that way for your congregations. I want you to pray big prayers for your marriages, for this country, and everything in between. I want you to pray big. So I want to remind you of a few verses that can help you do that. I want to remind you of what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. Y'all, that is confidence going into the prayer. But I also need to remind you of what's happening in 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked him for. That's confidence in whom we are praying to. I want to remind you of what it says in Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have it, and it will be yours. That's confidence in your request. I want you to be reminded of what's said in James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, as the King James Version says, availeth much. That's confidence in the outcome. As we move forward in our lives, as you move forward in your lives, you're going to be asked to pray. You're going to have things on your heart. You're going to have things that are messed up in your world. And we have the opportunity to go to the creator of everything that has ever existed, and he is listening to us. Don't waste that opportunity praying a safe prayer. I want you to imagine you running to Bill Gates on the street. And he says, hey, I want to help you out. What do you need? $200? You ask Bill Gates for $200? If you ask me, I'm going to ask him for $13 billion. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say to Bill Gates. I have an opportunity to ask him for something. I want it all. I'm going to pray big. Pray big. And don't waste this avenue of prayer that God has given us. Pray and pray big. Second thing I want you to keep with you as you move forward.
Thank you for playing that for me. Like I said, when I heard this, it was one of the most powerful things that I've ever heard in my life, especially when it comes to my prayer life. It's really made a difference in how I do pray. And hopefully y'all find it just as encouraging and useful in your lives. You know, I've stood up here and, you know, confessed that, you know, some of the shortcomings I have in my life, and I know we all have some, and the opportunity is given now. If there's anything that is burdensome on your heart and you need the prayers of the church for, if you would, or if you, everybody here has been baptized, but if we don't have anybody here that's been baptized, if you need the prayers of the church or need to come forward for baptism, please do as we stand and sing.